How about we turn to Matthew chapter 22. Now, I really hope I don't confuse you this evening. We're going to look at a parable that Jesus spoke about a king who had a marriage feast for his son. Does that sound familiar from this morning? But it's two different things. But here he is wanting to describe what the kingdom of heaven is like. And one of the confusing things about the kingdom of heaven is it can have all different aspects to it, really. The kingdom of heaven really is wherever Jesus reigns and is king. And there is the spiritual kingdom of heaven. The church is a part of the kingdom of heaven, really. And Christ reigns over us. And so we're a part of that. There is in heaven, where it's the kingdom of heaven. And then there is also in that millennial time, that is often referred to as the kingdom of heaven. And so it depends what we're really looking about here, but the Lord Jesus wants to explain really what's going to happen with his people and then how what's going to happen with the Gentiles, and he unfolds what happens in the future from this point in time. A lot of this has already happened and is past now, but it was future events when Jesus was talking about it. And so let's pray and then we'll see what the Lord has for us. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for the night. Thank you for your word and for how, Lord, there are many things that are beyond our understanding, yet you have promised to give us your spirit to guide us and to teach us. And Lord, as we stop and consider what Jesus said here, that Lord, we will be encouraged. We'll learn a little bit more about you and your plans for us and your plans for, Lord, your people as well, the Israelites. And so we commit this time to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now we turn to Matthew chapter 22, and let me just read what the first two verses, first of all, says, "And Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parables, and said, The kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son." Now, Jesus is explaining to the Pharisees and the people what was going to unfold in the future. Not so distant future, really. We have the benefit of being able to look back and seeing how these things came to pass. But what Jesus said to these people hadn't come to pass at that time. But we see here a perfect account of Christ's dealings with Israel and how they rejected the offer that God was giving to them in the Lord Jesus Christ. And because of that, he turned to the Gentiles and they received this blessing instead. And so we see here in verses 1 and 2, Jesus says, the kingdom of heaven is like a king. And so when kings do something, it's pretty spectacular. Which had a marriage for his son. And he's going to put on a feast, this king, a banquet for his son, and invite people to come and share in the celebrations. And so we see that these people are going to have this wonderful honour to have fellowship with the king. You know, if the queen, we don't have a king, but if the queen put on a marriage for her, one of her children, we're going to have a marriage and we get invited, it's not just the fact that we get invited to a wedding, but we get to have fellowship with the queen. This is a pretty wonderful thing. There is going to be a banquet and a celebration. And that's what God is talking about here. And what we see here is the kingdom of heaven, in the aspect of what we see in the spiritual realm, is in many ways
a wonderful, joyful time of fellowship with the God of heaven. That's what we're all invited to have, to be able to enjoy. Come and fellowship with me and enjoy a feast. And so if we're saved, we're a part of the church, we can have fellowship and communion with the King and God of heaven. And so we see here, first of all, verse 3, the invitation. He's going to have a banquet or marriage for his son. And he sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding. And they would not come. Now notice it says he sent his disciples to call those who were bidden. Really, it is who had been bidden. What I have read is when it was a custom with a wedding, marriage, particularly when it was a very important person where this was happening, is first of all, an invitation is sent. And we get that. Someone has a wedding, an invitation is sent out. It could be a written one, or it might have been a verbal invitation sent out. And so there's warning. Okay, there's a wedding coming up. I'm going to have a wedding for my son. But not only did that, they do that, but then they also sent out when it was time, it's time to come. All right? Yeah, just to make sure they come along. It is time now. And so we see here when the verse says, he sent forth his servants to call them that were or had been bidden. And so, in verse 3, we see the king had bidden some to come. And then, when it was time for the feast, he sent his servants to bring them in. And this is just a little picture of what has happened with the children of Israel. The Lord first sent a written invitation to the children of Israel. They said that I'm going to offer you a kingdom and I'm going to send a Messiah and he's going to reign over you and you can enjoy all these wonderful blessings with him. And the written invitation would be the prophets telling them of the coming of the Messiah and the kingdom that is theirs for the taking. If it was not just written, there was the verbal of the preaching of the prophets as well, how it is coming. And so they had been told, and they were waiting for the kingdom to come. And then, when it was the right time, the Lord sent his servants to fetch them, to tell them that it was time for the kingdom to begin. And I believe the first servant that was sent out was John the Baptist. He was preaching, the kingdom of heaven is here. It's coming. You know, the Messiah is coming. And he's preaching to the Israelites. Turn to Matthew chapter 10, would you? We see that it didn't just start and stop with John the Baptist. Then we see the 12, which we've already looked at when he sent the 12 out. But in Matthew chapter 10, verse 5, it says, these 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not. Because this wasn't for them. All right? But go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as ye go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. All right? So here Jesus is sending out disciples. And he's saying, it is time for the kingdom. Come. And so that's what verse 3 is talking about. He sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding. So Israel, who previously had been bidden and informed by the prophets of the coming kingdom of heaven, were informed, and now they are being called by Christ and his disciples. But Jesus said in the parable, and they would not come. And that's what happened. Jesus offered the kingdom. Jesus sent out his disciples. John the Baptist was there, and they would not believe. Sure, there was a small remnant that did believe and enjoyed certain things, but as a nation, they rejected Christ and his Messiah, and they crucified him. And so they wouldn't come. The call was rejected. But here in this parable, we turn back to Matthew 22, there is a second invitation. Verse 4. Again, he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them which are bidden. So we're thinking about the Israelites. Behold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage. But they made light of it and went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them. And so we see here the king gives another invitation, assuming that the guests maybe didn't realize that it was time for the wedding. Everything was prepared. And so he explains, I've got it all killed, it's all ready, I need you to come now. But when the servants went and told them, tell those that had been bidden, it says that some made light of the invitation. Not interested. What a joke. And they made fun of the servants, some hurt the servants, and some of the servants were slain as well. And so that was the result of the second invitation. And for me, if I'm going to get a interpretation of what that's talking about, I believe that on the day of Pentecost, in the early years of the church, the king gave those who were bidden, that is the Israelites, the opportunity to hear this good news once again. The servants mainly only preached to Israel for a long time, for many years. But what was their reaction to the servants of Christ by the rulers and the nations? How did they respond? We know on the day of Pentecost, they mocked. Said, this is ridiculous. These guys are drunk. They still rejected this wonderful good news. We know that Stephen, that first martyr, was stoned, put to death. We know James, one of the disciples who went out, he was slain as well, and they wanted to kill Peter. We know that when they went and preached, they got them before them and they persecuted them and tortured them. And so the servants were treated terribly by those who had been bidden. And so the whole nation of Israel rejected the invitation of the king to come to the kingdom. Now, what does it say there in verse 7? Because of their action. But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth, and he sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their city. And so that's what Jesus said with this parable. The king sent the invitation, rejected. He sent another one, rejected. They didn't treat the servants. And so what did the king say? I'm going to go and destroy your city and annihilate you. And you know, this was exactly what took place with those who had been bidden, the Israelites. We know in AD 70, Titus, the Roman general, ransacked Jerusalem, the city, that city of murderers, and he broke down the walls, he destroyed the temple, and he burnt the city to the ground. And so exactly what this parable was saying that would happen to those who had been bidden but rejected the king's calling is exactly what happened to the children of Israel. So they were punished because they rejected the invitation. But what we see here is a third invitation given by the king. But this time it wasn't to those who had been bidden. Who were those that were bidden? Israel. This time it wasn't given to them, but the invitation was given to others. Now I'll give you the tip. This is the Gentiles. All right? This is us. It says there in verse 8, "Then said he to his servants, the wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy." They made themselves not worthy, really. "Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage." So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all, as many as they found, both bad and good. And the wedding was furnished with guests. And so those who were bidden weren't worthy. And so he said, go and find others to come to this wedding of my son. And so they went out and they gathered anyone that they could find. It didn't matter if they were good or bad. There was no distinction. Everybody was invited to do this or come to this marriage. And this is what happened after the Jews had rejected the invitation by the God of heaven himself. The Lord went to the Gentiles and offered the kingdom of heaven to them, that spiritual kingdom of heaven now. And he allowed the Gentiles to enjoy and have fellowship with the King of heaven. You know, we have if you turn over to Acts, we have a picture of this in Acts chapter 18. Let me have a look in Acts chapter 18, verses 5 and 6. "And when Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, Paul pressed in his spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ." So who did he go to first? The Jews. "And when they opposed themselves and blasphemed, he shook his raiment and said unto them, your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean. From henceforth I will go unto the Gentiles." That's this parable in a nutshell. He went to the Jews. This was their second invitation. They rejected it. He said, okay, I'm going to go to the Gentiles now instead. And the Lord instructed his servants to call anyone. And that's the good thing. He didn't say, just go to those who had been bidden, go to anyone. And he said, get the good and the bad. And that's a blessing. Because the invitation to come and sup with Christ and to enjoy the blessings of the King of Heaven for us in our age isn't just for the good, the morally good, the nice people, the kind-hearted women, the respectable family man, but it's to the bad as well, to the drunkard, the drug addicts, to the murderers, to the thieves. It is for everyone. And we understand that in the kingdom of heaven, that is this church age, there are those who in this world are good, and there are those that are bad, but they have been saved and been able to enjoy that fellowship with the King of Heaven. Jesus said all could come. But regardless if they were good or bad, the King had one requirement. And that was they must be clothed with a wedding garment. This is important to keep in mind. Without a wedding garment, the king would not accept them. Now, from what I've read, in the East, when a king mainly, or someone extremely rich and important, put on a feast, particularly a wedding feast, guests were given a special garment to wear at that feast. And so, you know, when you go to a wedding these days, you take a gift for them. Well, when you went there, you got a gift. You got a nice garment to wear. All right? And if someone was at the feast without the garment, it would mean that he had come in and he wasn't invited, or he had rejected the gift that the one putting on the feast or the king was offering. And this would show contempt for the gift or the giver, and declare that he counted this gift wasn't good enough for me. That was a real big no-no. I'm sure there's a better way of putting it, but a real big no-no. If the king is offering a garment and you say, no, I think my garments are good enough, the king's not going to take lightly to that. And we see in this parable that's exactly what took place, because it says there in verse 11, and when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he said unto him, friend, how camest thou in hither not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then said the king to the servants, bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, that's a very extreme thing to happen, all right? But Jesus is trying to make a point here. And so the king comes in to the feast. He saw all these guests that he had called, the good and the bad, come. And they're all got their garments on except one person. Obviously, he had rejected the gift. I suspect it was a rich man who probably thought his garments were good enough. He didn't need the king's garment. His was more than sufficient. And so when the king saw it, or saw this illegal intruder, he was cast out and severely dealt with. And what we have here is a picture of really the church age. This is a picture of those that are in or want to be in the kingdom of heaven, so to speak, the church age. It was offered to Israel, the kingdom of heaven. They rejected it. So it was offered to the Gentiles, the good and the bad. It was offered to everyone. All could come and dine with the King of Heaven, the respected family man, and even the mass murderer could come. The invitation was to all, but the Lord has and will always have one requirement to be a true member of the Kingdom of Heaven, and that is you cannot have your own righteousness. You cannot be clothed with your own righteousness. They are like filthy rags to God. You must have the righteousness of Christ. His robes upon you. The robe that the Heavenly Father gives as a gift. And if you respond to the call and receive Christ as Savior, He will give you His righteousness. Turn over to Philippians chapter 3, would you please? We have, Paul understood this. You see, the righteousness of the law, there were people, the Jews, thinking, I can be a part of the kingdom with my own righteousness of the law. These people were cast out. So Philippians chapter 3, verse 8, it says, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I might win Christ, and be found in Him. And get this, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. You see, we can have fellowship with the King, and it will be like a banquet and enjoy the blessings of the King of Heaven if we're saved. And the way when we're saved, it is open to all, and when you receive it, we get the righteousness of Christ upon us. And that's why he accepts us. Yet we know that there are some people that want to be a part of the kingdom, so to speak, the church. And they might even get involved and they enjoy everything about it, but they think their righteousnesses are good enough. I don't need the righteousness of Christ. I am good enough myself. My works will make me acceptable to the King. Yet they're going to get a very big fright one day when the King of Heaven says, "What are you wearing? These filthy rags? I offered the righteousness of Christ, and you've got these things on?" And these people will be cast into outer darkness. But it's like the parable of the tares and the wheat, and they're planted together. But one day it'll be worked out who is a tare and who is a wheat. It's like wheat. It's like people, they're at the feast, they're gathering around, and they're thinking they're a part of it, thinking they're pretty good with their own righteousness. Yet one day God's going to say, "That's not good enough. You need the robes of Christ and his righteousness upon you." And what did I have here? But when the King comes, he's going to reject and cast those with their own righteousness into hell. Now, why will the King do this? Well, because even though he calls many, the call is for the good and bad, and he calls all to the feast, he will only accept or choose those who have received the gift of his righteousness. Now, I want you to get that. The call is for all, but the only ones that he will accept and receive are those who have accepted that free gift of salvation. Now, that's how I interpret verse 14, where Jesus says, "For many are called, but few are chosen." You see, many are called. People are called, the good and bad, to come and enjoy the feast. But the only ones that he will choose to enjoy that feast are those who have the righteousness of Christ upon them. And so he doesn't choose who gets the garments, as the Calvinist teaching would say. They would say he chooses who gets the garments. No, I say that anyone can get the garment and receive it through faith. But God, or the Lord, only chooses those who have accepted the garment. And there's a big difference. And so the question I will leave with you tonight is, whose robes of righteousness are you wearing now? Do you have your own robes of righteousness and you think that will be enough to enjoy the kingdom of heaven? Or do you have Christ's robes of righteousness? There's a very big difference, as we see here in this parable that Jesus spoke. I trust we are enjoying the righteousness of Christ upon us because we have received Christ as our Saviour through faith. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that, Lord, you have bidden us. We have been called. How foolish the Jewish nation was when they had their Messiah and rejected him. Yet, Lord, we know that the casting aside of them has been a blessing for us, we're told, as Gentiles, because we can enjoy you and enjoy that cleansing and forgiveness and that fellowship. And Lord, I pray that each one of us would understand that that is a gift that we need to receive, and it's nothing that we can do to earn. And I pray that each one of us can say, "Lord, I stand before you in the righteousness of Christ that I've received as a free gift, when I accepted your invitation. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.